You guys can go ahead and be seated. My name's Gene. I'm part of the team here at Restore. What a privilege it is to be in the house this morning. If you're here on a regular basis, you know that was an very abbreviated worship time, a very abbreviated moment of music. We'll get to that. We'll get to that on the tail end of the service this morning for the rest of the experience. Listen, on your seats, you'll find the R5M funding initiative card. I just want to draw your attention to that because we are, during the course of November, the whole month of November, we're going to bring this to your attention each week because we believe that all of us ought to be a part, if at all possible, we ought to be a part of funding this move to from the theater to 5th and Madison. And you can complete that, and you can put it into the red boxes in the back of the auditorium at the end of the service if you'd like. You can also take a picture of the QR code. That'll take you right to the website. You can fill out the information there as well. Just encourage you to jump in. We're in the process. If you didn't receive an email after last weekend from our office, then you should maybe get on our email list. And you can do that by if you're filling out this card, you can just write right on there, hey, I want to be on your email mailing list. Because in that email, we told you that we paid $260,000 for an 18,000 square foot building that is in great shape. And we're needing to raise another about $300,000 to complete all the renovations. And so we'd love for you to jump in and be part of this next step for the future of Restore Church. All right, well, let's shift gears and jump into the brand new series called See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil. Do you ever use that emoticon on your phone? I do. And I thought maybe it's appropriate that we actually do a series and dig into what do we mean by all of this. We all use it for various reasons, I'm pretty sure. But this morning I want to explore see no evil. What does it mean to see no evil? What does it mean to hear no evil and to speak no evil? See, Jesus came to give sight for the blind. And in the Proverbs, you read these words, in the tongue is the power of life and death. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. We know and we believe that Jesus, the words of Jesus are beautiful, they're true, they are life-giving, they are trustworthy. And so as we launch into this exploration of this well-known saying, we're praying for a few things, and at the top of the list is that everything that's said, everything that we hear, see, and speak would be through the filtration of the Holy Spirit, because it is through that filter that we can actually see no evil. It is through the filtration of the Holy Spirit that our sight can change. And Lord knows we need this ability as we engage the culture of our neighborhoods, as we engage the culture of our world. Well, as I was prepping for this weekend, there's a couple things that came to mind, because as a teenager, I became keenly aware that in the tradition of our family that I grew up in, there was rules. Anybody else have rules when you were growing up? Rules that today you may look at and go, well, that was pretty surface, wasn't it? Rules like, well, back in the day it was your hair can't be too long for guys, right? And it surely can't be too short for women, right? And then later, when the hair got really short for men, then it couldn't be that short either for some of us. It's a weird thing. No smoking, no drinking, no movies, and certainly not TV either, because of the evil that your eye would see. See, I was really tempted for about 3/10 of a second, let's just say, a very short period of time to go down that road, because as soon as I had that thought, I also knew that this is just scratching the surface. Following those rules never did get me beyond point A, right? It never gets you beyond that first step. If all you're doing is looking with your natural eye and seeing the evil around you and saying, okay, I can't do that, that, or that, which is probably true. You shouldn't. I shouldn't. But that doesn't get to the core of the issue if that's all you're thinking about. See, if you spend a lifetime looking through the filter of rules and bad tradition, sometimes the memory of that experience comes back to haunt us, tricks my mind, and it clouds my vision. The same is true if you've been abused and neglected, if you've been diminished in your life instead of being loved. That history is always back here somewhere. And the process of becoming all that God has created us to be requires us to keep saying, no, 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 that's a lie. I'm living into the truth. I'm living into the truth of who Jesus says I am. I'm going to live into the truth of being aligned with God. My dad, he's 80, about to turn 82 years old. And unknown to me or my siblings, his vision was being compromised. And even more than that, there was some glaucoma that had set into the one eye. And he had cataracts. And I didn't realize that his vision was being compromised in the process. If you know anything about cataracts, it has to do with a cloudy film over your eye. And it also has to do with the lens. I don't know if I just said that right. It really has to do with your lens, right? Glaucoma is more cloudiness of the eye, I guess. But all that aside, the lens in his eyes had to be replaced. And so this surgery, this laser surgery goes in and breaks up that lens. It's crazy how microscopic it is, and at the same time, how effective it is and how quickly the doctor can work through this. But my dad had both eyes done a couple weeks ago, and he came out of that surgery with clear vision. Amazing. My dad's almost 82 years old, and has put his glasses aside, except for reading. He now has 20/20 vision. And he has for years, apparently, not seen clearly. What I want to bring to you this morning, the reason I'm telling you that, is that all of us, at some point in our lives, need spiritual cataract surgery. We need to have our lens replaced. And if you've not said yes to Jesus, if you've not surrendered your life to him, then this morning I want to just impress upon you the significance of saying yes to him and allowing him to wash your eyes, to see with new eyes. See no evil. Does that mean that we're going to turn a blind eye? Because that's what some people mean when they say, I'm going to see no evil. I'm just going to turn my head and ignore all the injustice. If that's the case, then how is it that we become okay with becoming blinded? What causes our eyes to become cloudy? And by the way, some of you this morning are actually asking the question, does this exercise of getting my kids up and getting them into the house and showing up here increase my capacity to see clearly? Because if it doesn't, then I have just put out a whole bunch of effort for nothing. And I hope that you're convinced that you're sitting in this place this morning because you're about to become a bit more aware of what God wants to do through you. Sometimes we need people alongside us to give us clarity, don't we? Sometimes it requires deep and meaningful conversation. Brenda and I, we meet with a number of you, or have met with a number of you. We pretty consistently are meeting with one or two or three couples at a time, individually, and telling you how to have a great marriage. That's what we do. And then you know, there comes, you know, do you know that if you speak into somebody's life about a certain subject, that that is likely the place that our enemy, who keeps prowling around to see how he can get us sideways, that's probably the area that he's going to poke into. Do you know that? And that's what happens to Brenda and I sometimes, because we're pretty good at sitting with you and sitting across the table from you and giving you advice about what it means to love each other as a married couple or as a couple that's about to get married. We're pretty good at that. But we are also human. And we get sideways. And sometimes we're better at telling you how to live your life than we are at living our own life. And so one of the things about that we talk to you about when we meet with you is your different ways of communicating, right? I communicate one way, Brenda communicates another way. And sometimes her method of communication is stonewalling, which you might say, well, that's not really communicating. Oh, have you ever been stonewalled? Yeah, there's good communication there. I get the signal loud and clear, right? She is also one that doesn't easily tell me where I've screwed up. But it's pretty powerful when she does. And Friday night, we had a little meeting, right? There in our kitchen. And I'm not going to tell you what it was about because none of your business, but it was significant, and at least, you know, she's kind of tackled me on the same issue a number of times, and I'm pretty good at shifting for a time, and then you kind of get back into the old habits again, and you kind of do the same thing again, and so we have another Come to Jesus meeting, and someday I'll be perfect, but as of this morning, I'm not yet. She's not either, but she's close. Our ability to communicate, our ability to use the senses that God has given us to hear. See, I could have chosen not to hear her, but I wanted to hear her. I needed to hear her. I could have responded. I could have said things out of an evil capacity that I have as a human being. And I could have rolled my eyes, which in that moment would have been flat evil, at least from her perspective. It's significant that we have this conversation because we all, as the followers of Jesus, we need to be the people of Jesus that will speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil. But how we do that will determine how we, like, we can easily say, I speak no, or yes, see no evil, but how we actually live that out will determine our effectiveness as followers of Jesus. A.W. Tozer says this: what can all this mean except that we have in our hearts organs by means of which we can know God as certainly as we know material things through our familiar five senses? We apprehend the physical world by exercising the faculties given us for that purpose. And we possess spiritual faculties by means of which we can know God and the spiritual world if we will obey the Spirit's urge and begin to use them. That's the key. If we will submit, if we will respond to the Spirit's urge and actually use the God-given spiritual giftings that he's placed within us. In the Old Testament, King Rehoboam followed, he was the son of Solomon, King Solomon. He followed Solomon in the reign over Israel. And he was a king over all of Israel for a very short period of time before the way he lived his life caused the kingdom to be divided. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 12:14 that he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. He had not predetermined that he was going to follow the Lord. So after he was established and after he was strong, so everything was going his way, everything's going your way and my way, and after we get established, this is what King Rehoboam did. This is what we do sometimes, is that after everything is going well, we take our eyes off of what we're committed to doing, sort of, and we become people we didn't intend to be because we had not, King Rehoboam had not decided beforehand to set his heart on seeking the Lord. He became self-sufficient. He became a go-your-own-way kind of person. It wasn't because of what he did so much as what he didn't do. He exchanged what was most important for and valuable for a cheap imitation. Because one of the things that happened, and I just want to say this name, King Shishak. I wonder if his wife's name was Cheryl. Do you think that? Anyway, King, I don't even know if it's the right pronunciation, but as I read it, I thought it was kind of funny. King Shishak. Well, King Shishak from another kingdom came, and because of Rehoboam's neglect of the ways of God, this other king came through and took the gold and silver out of the temple, took it with him. And Rehoboam ended up having brass shields made, a cheap imitation. How often do we settle for cheap imitations instead of the real deal? Rehoboam, this was his downfall, was he was okay with the cheap imitation. Later on in Chronicles, again, Asa, king of Judah, he became king and he had followed God. And in fact, he was very close to being very good. He traveled a long way with God before getting off track. Now, his sin was not so much deliberate disobedience as choosing the easy way rather than the right way. He, again, had his vision clouded. All he saw was with his natural eyes what was right in front of him. And what was right in front of him was another king that he decided to bribe in order to get his way. And then came the seer, or some would call this person a prophet. Hanani came to the king and reminded him of God's faithfulness and Isa's foolishness in not trusting him. And yet, the prophet, the seer, the person who came to the king who could see beyond the natural eyes, he came and he said in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "But even though, Isa, you have not followed the Lord's commands, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro for those who are fully committed to him. And that is when we actually are able to see with spiritual eyes, as if our hearts are aligned with who God says we are. And we commit to the ways of God because he is who he says he is. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1, chapter or verse 18, he writes these words to the church in Ephesus. He really lays it on hard. He says, in an encouraging way this time, actually, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart, the spiritual perception that is in you, may be enlightened. I pray that your eyes would be cleared so that you can see the light, in order that you may know." The word "know" here is like experience, so that you can experience the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. There it is. The same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you and I if we are following Almighty God. We choose to see with natural eyes 99.9% of the time. And if we can up that equation and begin to settle into who God says he wants, what he wants us to see through the spiritual eyes that he's given us, our lives will never be the same. Because I believe, you guys, I believe change is coming. Change is on the brink for you and I. We see in the natural by opening our eyes. If our eyes are shut, there's not much to see. We open our eyes to see the world around us. We see in the spiritual by fully committing to Jesus. See, every house has windows. Houses have windows. And when we want to see outside, we go up to the window and we look out. Isn't that right? We look outside. When we as followers of Jesus, fully committed followers of Jesus, have the Holy Spirit within us, now Jesus in us, Jesus uses our eyes to see out around us. Jesus in us gives us spiritual eyes. And just like we have houses of windows, we are the house of God, each of us. God has come to give us life. And when he comes to us, then he resides in us. And out of us come the works of him who was sent to give us life. And so when Jesus resides in us, we have the power of God within us. We have the ability to use our spiritual eyes to see what we would not normally see. Sometimes it simply means saying, I'm going to open my eyes. See, we always talk about choices and decisions, right? You don't get anywhere in life if you don't start making choices and decisions that are right and good. And this is one of those where unless you say, hey, I'm going to open my eyes, and God, I'm looking for what you're going to show me. There's a new level of awareness that can come. And I forget this. I'll be the first to admit to you that I can go weeks and weeks and weeks without perceiving very well at all in the spiritual. This isn't anything weird, you guys. This is the power of God in us to begin to see with spiritual eyes instead of just seeing with natural eyes. Try something this week. Ignore everybody's costume. In other words, ignore what is right in front of you, because we make judgments really quick. So ignore everybody's costume and ask your Father to reveal how he sees the person you encounter. When it comes to the costume, refuse to be offended, okay? Refuse to be offended by whatever the person in front of you looks like. It's just a temporal thing anyway. It doesn't last. Love them as God loves them, and see that what you do to the least in your eyes, you do to Christ. So again, it's changing perception. It's not just the person in front of you. It's not just the human, but it is the human in front of you that is filled with the image of Christ. If you don't know who a person really is, start here. Start believing that everyone is a much loved child of God. He's made in his image. And it helps if you remember that's who you are as well. Start there. Experiment with this week. Ignore everybody's costume. Get past what you see on the outside and dig into what you know is true about that person. Close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes for a second. Picture a woman walking along a path on the side of the jungle. She's walking along, and suddenly a tiger jumps out and starts snarling at her, and the woman is running, terrified for her life. Now this tiger takes off after her and is chasing her and is just about to catch her, and then she comes to a cliff, and without thinking, she jumps off the cliff and grabs onto a vine, which is just beyond the reach of the tiger. Hoping to escape, she looks down, and there, to her horror, she sees another tiger snarling in the ravine beneath her. There was literally no escape. Her predicament worsened. Now picture two mice, one black and one white, climbing out onto that vine and starting to chew through it. You know, it was only going to be a matter of time before they severed her lifeline. And only a matter of time before she went plummeting to the tiger below. And then the woman took her eyes off the mice and the tigers. She closed her eyes and slowly settled. And as she did this, she came to herself. And you can open your eyes, because when she opened her eyes, she saw in front of her beautiful ripe strawberries on the cliff right in front of her. And so she plucked those strawberries, she ate them, and they were tasty and amazing. You are that woman. And the tigers are all that threaten you in this life. They are your grievances about the past. That's the tiger above. And your fears of the future, which is the tiger below. The mice, white and black, are day and night, representing the passage of time. This is the kingdom of the world in which you find yourself every day. The question is, how will you choose to see it? Will you see and fear the evil that threatens, or will you choose? Will you choose to lean into Jesus? Will you choose to see the world around you with new eyes, unclouded and clear? See the beauty right in front of you, regardless of the threats. This is seeing from the perspective of already won. You know you're sitting in the seat of somebody that's already won because of the work in Jesus, of Jesus. The trouble is that we often have a spurt of righteous energy, but we don't play the long game. And when opposition comes, we too quickly succumb to the temptation of looking around at everything that we don't have and everything that everybody has, the material things around us. We get our eyes off of what's important and we feel we lack. And we see evil in the form of comparison. We see evil in the form of mistrust. And just like that, we see the tiger of our past and the tiger of our future. Fear grips our hearts, and we're hanging on the side of the cliff, watching time tick, 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 right on by. That is until we come to ourselves and we choose what we will see. And when we do, we see that evil, while still in this world, does not control us. It does not have mastery over us. But we have the power of God in us to see the strawberries within our reach, and we taste and we see that God is good. His perspective is right. It is true. And when we are in alignment with Him, when we discover clarity, wisdom, and insight, we have the ability to see beyond the present physical condition. See no evil does not mean we give wrongdoing a pass. It doesn't mean we look the other way in the face of injustice. Instead, it means we stand firm and we stand against all that is out of alignment with the character of God. And how do we do this? How do we do this? It means that, first of all, our hearts are aligned with the truth and sovereignty of God, in whom there is no shadow of turning. He, Almighty God, is consistent. He is always coming toward humanity, looking in the dark corners, the faraway places where we choose to hide, where we turn our eyes to avoid the evil. There Jesus is, and He comes and implores us to pursue peace and seek justice. Do you stand with me? Father, we pray this morning to be strengthened. Strengthen us to see no evil, to abide no wrongdoing, to stand for the weak and helpless, and to bring your beautiful kingdom to earth as it already is in heaven. God, let us be the people who choose to change our viewpoint, to change our perspective, to step into greater levels of love and grace, to step into greater levels of connection within the culture, so that we can be the people that, as we influence and infiltrate this culture, this society, that we would be the people that would represent you in such a way that brings true life change. That evil does not abide, we don't abide the presence of evil. That we live out of the power of Jesus' resurrection, that power that is within us, Guide us into all truth now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, you guys. The prayer team, and they're hearing this for the first time, but I'm going to have them come up in the front row in the center here and just face the stage. And if you need prayer this morning, listen, there are moments in time when the lenses of our eyes need to be washed. And if you're experiencing that this morning, if it's you, like, you know that you need to see differently. Make it your perspective, make your perspective change happen this morning. It takes getting out of our seats and saying, I will not abide the evil that I see all around me. And the only way to do that sometimes is to commit to having someone come alongside of us and pray for us. This requires an act of courage. This requires us to do what we're sometimes not comfortable doing. So I'm just calling you to more this morning. We're in a place as a church that we can't keep moving forward if we do not commit deeper. And that means that this is individually something we must do, because the individual action then affects the corporate action. And together, we will be a powerful force against the evil that is all around us. All the evil we see, all the evil we hear, all the evil that we sometimes speak. So I encourage you to come. Be prayed for this morning.